God is good. All the time. Because that's his nature. Amen. Last time I had the honor and privilege of preaching on Transfiguration Sunday, I preached on the Shekinah glory and the Old Testament and the meaning and all that, but I was very struck this time by EMP. Engage the community. Meet the needs of people. And proclaim the gospel. Each and every one of us. And a stark difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament readings. The Old Testament, people were afraid. And Moses, when he had been in the presence of the Lord, his face shone. And he veiled himself. We're not called to veil ourselves when we leave church on Sunday. We're called to be in his presence and rejoice and share his love and grace. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So it brought me back to the Navy. And some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to shorten it and change it a little bit because it's the same story. But the issue is on my first ship in the Navy, it was not working well. It didn't work. It was broken. I was ashamed. I didn't even take my parents or my grandparents around the ship. It was just that bad. But we were going to deploy in about 2 months. And the admiral, who I'd worked for in Washington, D.C., said, you're going to deploy with us. And I'm going, and so we're going to fix this thing. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I was, going out there and giving orders and making things happen. And things were happening, but not fast enough and not the way I wanted them to happen. Anyway, and so we finally deployed. And we finally, I went to the PEB afterwards. Jim's going to like this. But I failed the OPI twice. Now I'm the inspector for it because I know what it's like to fail. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm full of acronyms today. Thank you, Gail. OPI is Propulsion Examining Board, and it's engineering inspection. So you inspect the engineering plant to make sure it's safe to operate.
Okay.
Anyway. Yep, very important. But anyway, and so finally on our way to Hawaii, the board passed us and we were able to deploy. Anyway, but the ship was still not clean and just still broken in many places. I'm going, this is not right. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And the Lord said, and I'm issuing things and trying to make this happen all on my own. And I've been praying to the Lord for some help and to make this happen and to change people and have them want to just be their ship and them do these things. And so I'm praying one evening and just felt in tears and on my knees by my bed. And I said, I swear it was an audible voice, but whether it was, but this thing says, when are you going to stop doing it yourself and let me intervene? It's not about the stuff, it's about your people. And all of a sudden I went, what? He says, take care of your people. Listen to them. And so I walked around the ship and I listened and I learned all kinds of things. And they learned that I cared and understood and got them pieces and parts. And all of a sudden, they started fixing things and everything started to work. And pretty soon, we were praying 3 times a day and doing all the other stuff we're supposed to be doing from my point of view as a captain. But all of a sudden, I took the time to listen and hear what they were saying and what they needed and provide them the resources so they could do those. What does your prayer life look like? What did God create you to be, and who are you to be? If I were to ask you a question, ask everybody in this room, well, how would you answer? What were you created to be? Why did he create you in the first place? The simple and short answer is he created you to be in relationship with him. He wants and desires to have an intimate and personal, close relationship with you, not just on Sunday, but every day, 24/7, every single day of your life. Amen? And the patterns of our life, whether daily, weekly, or eternally, aren't there yet. And the story of the Transfiguration is so important to us in this fact. In the Navy, and I think in the church, I'm going to change the acronym in a little bit, but the acronym is basically PAC. You know what I mean? It's like, plan, do, check, action. You know, it's the improvement cycle. We all learned it in the Navy and in business and everything else. You plan it, you do it, you check it out, make sure where you can do it better, and then you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it. My way of thinking for the church and for us as we go out and are missional, we need to pray, receive from the Lord, and do. So we pray, do, and then we check it. Look at the scriptures, look at what we've done, process it. How could we do it better? What did we fail to do? What should have we done? And then we do it again. So each time we go out and are missional and reach out to people, we do what the Lord's calling us to do. And the first thing is to pray. I don't know about you, but check your prayer life. Reading this week really shocked me and thinking about my prayer life. And you know, you have transmitters and receivers. Your transmitter means you're talking, you're speaking. And if you're talking and speaking, you're not receiving. You know, you have to let go of the button so the transmitter stops so the receiver can receive and you can listen and hear. How much of our prayer life is spent listening and receiving? How much time do you spend in God's presence listening to what he has for you? Because if you're busy talking and you have your long list of prayer, not that they're not important and we shouldn't do that, but I'd say twice the amount of time we spend speaking ought to be spent in listening to receive from the Lord. Think about that. When was the last time you got through your prayer list and you're done, amen, and you get on with life? The tyranny of the urgent takes over, right? Wrong. You need to rest in his presence. And the pattern that we see here in the gospel this morning is amazing. And it's a pattern we should all take after. Because inspiration, revelation, and tribulation, the troubles we have in life as we go through it, if we're praying and if we're walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit, inspiration and revelation will most of the time precede the troubles and the circumstances you're walking through in life. So prayer. So what do we see in a gospel? Well, before the gospel happens here, it says, what are those things? These sayings. And then eight days later, he took them up the mountain. So what do we see ahead of time?
I'm gonna
tell you. Thank you, Leah. After these sayings, and so what happened before? Well, the first thing where I'm going to start is in Luke 9:18, where Jesus confesses Christ as Lord and the Messiah. And there at Caesarea Philippi, and he confesses this. And then after that, Jesus follows on with, yes, he doesn't disagree with them, but then he says, but I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to be rejected by the priests and the scribes and the leaders. And then I'm going to be crucified. And then I'm going to die. And then I'm going to be raised again in 3 days. So he tells them of his death for the first time. And then he tells his disciples, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. And he says that we're supposed to die to self. Go beyond self. Jesus is modeling that for us here, what he's doing for us. So we die to self and live for Christ. So let's each one of us take up our cross and follow him. He says these things, and then he says, but truly, truly, I tell you, some of you will not see death before you see the kingdom of God. And 8 days later, Jesus takes them up a high mountain. Peter, James, and John. And they get to the top, and it's probably about dusk. And they're at the top of the mountain. And he took them up there to pray. Now, the scripture says Jesus was praying. It doesn't say they were praying, but Jesus is praying. As you read on further in the gospel, they're asleep. But Jesus is praying. And as he's praying, he's transfigured. He's transformed. He's changed. He's all of a sudden shining from within. And his robes are glowing white. whiter than you could bleach them, it says. So prayer transforms and changes us, not the people we're praying for. Jesus is transformed and returned for that moment and that time for his inner circle is back in the glory which he left in heaven. Shekinah glory comes in from within him and shines like the light. We're all indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit and shine and should shine always with the light of Christ. And then a cloud envelops them. So the cloud that all of them knew from the Old Testament, the pillar of cloud that guides them by day and the pillar of fire that guides them by night, envelops them and they're afraid. And while this is going on, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, are speaking and encouraging Jesus for his exodus and what he's about to do in Jerusalem. God is so good for Jesus as for you and I, and this is in the Bible, so you and I can be encouraged that he provides for us before we need what we need. He's encouraging Peter, James, and John so they can encourage the rest of the disciples and apostles to know that Jesus truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is, they've seen the former glory. They've seen the kingdom of God. They've experienced it. Now, Peter's answer and yours and my answer is when we go on a retreat or something else is, man, let's build a house or build three tents and stay there. Man, this is really cool. I'm feeling good and I just want to stay here on the top of the mountain, right? That's what Peter's saying. But they go away, and it's only Jesus and the three of them. And the story ends. They go down the mountain. They go down to where he's going to face trials and tribulation. He's going to face crucifixion and then the resurrection. And the apostles are going to go through all this as well as his disciples and you and I. Are coming upon that time now to reflect on those things and what they mean to us. But our prayer life is significant and important, and we need to pray and we need to listen so that the Lord can transform and transfigure us into his image to be what he's calling us to be. And in order to be what he's calling us to be, we have to be with him and listen to him, be in his word, and then go forth doing what he calls us to do, to share his love and grace with others. In that process on the ship, when I prayed and prayed and prayed, all of a sudden, the opportunity to listen to what the men were saying, what they needed, because they wanted to do well. They wanted to have their machinery work and all this stuff happen, but they didn't have the resources to do it. But once you listen and understand, and we're called to go out into our community and engage them, not thump them over the head with our Bibles, but to listen to them. And the biggest need that our nation and our community has right now is faith. They need to live and walk by faith, not by fear. Our whole country is basically in fear, and their bones are rattling, and they don't know where to turn. Faith is the only answer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Be not afraid. When Jesus comes to him walking on the water and Peter asks him to bid him, in the gospel there, he says, the order he says is, be courageous. I am who I am. And don't be afraid. But that's the order, is to be courageous because the Lord is with you. The Spirit indwells you. He will give you the words to speak. So engage, listen, and bless. Proclaim the gospel, because that's what we're to do, is to be the gospel to people by listening and understanding and engaging them and then proclaiming his love and grace for us. For our community. Amen.
Amen.
So let us every day spend 50% of our time in prayer. And if you haven't up to this point in time, or if it's been a long time and you need a refreshing, ask, and you haven't asked the Lord recently to fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to come and overflow, fill you to the brim so that you're leaking, and it leaks and spills out to all around you so they can be drawn to the love and grace of Jesus. One of the things that transformed me in the Navy was this thing that I told you about when the Lord said, let me. And what happened to me in the listening process was my capacity for grace, instead of looking at the target and putting rounds on target and doing and doing and doing and doing in my own energy and source, was my capacity for grace to listen, not judge, but understand, and then meet the needs, was transformed my leadership. Because I was called to meet the needs of others. We're all called through His grace to meet the needs of others. His grace indwells us and fills us to overflowing, so that we can listen without judgment and be who He calls us to be, a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
So let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the cycle that we're in, Lord, whether it's daily or whether it's going to church every week on Sunday, being filled with Your body and blood, Your word, and Your grace, to continue that throughout the week, listening, being filled and encouraged by You, to go forth as You encourage Jesus and Peter, James, and John on the mountain, and transform each and every one of us each and every day as we listen and are filled with Your grace. And in Jesus' name we pray.